this edition of the Hagmann Report. You know, so much going on, and I want to thank Peter Barry-Chalka, really, for coming on. He's a part of this of our endeavor to really bring to bring forth the truth element here, to bring forth the hard hitting news. You know, he's done so much research on the healthcare. To listen to him speak, I swear he's got 2,000 pages memorized of the healthcare bill. I really think that's the case. And the additional addendums, but to understand the background and why we're where we're at with this, it's just an amazing thing. And you might think it's dull, but man, this is part of taking over the country. And how else do you do it? But you control the choke points. One of the choke points is, of course, 1/5 of the economy. So, anyways, before we get to our before we continue here, I want to mention Patreon. And thank you so much for your support of Patreon. I want to let all of you know that the $25 reward for private live stream that's going to take place this Sunday, December 3rd, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Now, those of you who have partnered up with us at this level, you'll receive an email Sunday afternoon that will walk you through the, well, just how to connect and such. Because if you're like me, I don't know this kind of stuff. Now, for those of you that would like to join the live stream and have not yet pledged to at the $25 reward level, you've got to do so by November 30th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. Any patrons that pledge to this level after that will have to wait until the next month's live stream. And what can you expect? Well, here's what you can expect. Interactive face-to-face group video conference. That's with Joe and I. Group discussion on news and current events. You can ask us anything you know you might want to ask us. We do have, and I'm going to try to bring, I don't know how to do this, but maybe some sort of visual aids to show you what I use for research. And we hope to make this, like, you know, the whiteboards and stuff. I hope to make this a little bit different. And, there's also a good chance that the live stream is going to last longer than an hour. So also the Hagmann Forum, hopefully it'll be ready by the end of the week. That's kind of a soft intro date. And that's going to be pretty neat to have access to a place where you can actually post messages, articles, stories, even questions. I'm going to be part of that. I can't wait for that. I like the interactivity of that. So we want to thank you on behalf of the entire team. Thank you so much for your support. I really, really mean that. By the way, portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by OmahaSteaks.com. OmahaSteaks.com. Have you had Omaha Steaks? Oh, fantastic. Type HH in the search bar, and for under $50, you can get my family gift pack when you go to OmahaSteaks.com and enter the code HH. Fantastic deal. More on that later. I want to mention as well, many people know I've talked about Benghazi. We've covered Benghazi. The travesty that took place today. The Islamic, the Muslim terrorist, Ahmed Abu Qatala, skated on murder charges. He was acquitted on numerous charges. He was convicted on 4 lesser counts. He escapes the death penalty. This is in U.S. courts. Have you heard about this yet? Benghazi is Islamic terrorist Ahmed Abu Qatala. Benghazi. Now, well, I thought a film was responsible for that. Of course not. And remember the hubris of Hillary Clinton taking over Benghazi, or taking over Libya. It's all coming back. This is the Obama legacy. This is the Clinton legacy. This is the Rice legacy. This is what we get. Qatala skates. 4 lesser counts. Boy, it's enough to really make you wonder what's really taking place behind the scenes. Good job. And where is Jeff Sessions? Where is the Sessions Department of Justice? I am asking that more and more and more. Putting that aside, let's welcome our next guest, Mr. L.A. Marzulli, always a crowd pleaser. L.A. Marzulli, welcome to the Hagmann Report, sir.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Man, it's great to have you on. It's great. You know, it seems like, honestly, it seems like it's been a while. I don't know when the last time you were on, but it seems like it's been a while. What's been going on?
Well, I'm just, you know, I'm working on films, basically Fatima 2, right, which will come out sometime in January. I don't want to have it, basically release it now and then have it just lost in the Christmas rush. I will tease your audience with something, and I've got a conference call coming on Tuesday between two photographic analysis type people and Portugal, another photographer there. We've had access to several photographs that were actually taken in 1917. And this one particular individual came on the record already. And basically, I mean, look, is it a smoking gun? I don't know. I can't. I wish I could tell you the smoking gun. I can't yet. But we're very excited. He had access to the sanctuary in Fatima, and from that, he was able to handle the glass plates. And the glass plates are where we get all the pictures from. But no one basically has handled the glass plates, as far as I know, in a while. And he did this, I think, in 2008. He had access to it. And what he discovered there were objects on the glass plate, specifically round cylindrical objects, which were not, according to him, which were not chemical stains. They were not, you know, any type of manipulation. They were on the glass plate themselves. So this is why the conference call next Tuesday. Before I go out with this, because it could be huge. Could be huge. We don't know. The rest of the film will be about an hour and 20 minutes by the time I'm done. There's so much information in the film already, and this is one of the last really topics that we discuss, the glass plates. And I've always felt that someone who was there must have taken a photograph of the so-called miracle of the sun, because this thing went on between 10 and 14 minutes. It wasn't just this like a 1 minute thing. It was on for 10 minutes. And the photographer who was there took upwards of 12 pictures. We know that. And these are all the glass plates and the old cameras, wooden box cameras, sliding in the glass plates, sliding it out, all the chemicals that you've got to use. So this gentleman, I won't say his name right now, but he's already agreed to come on the record, and he's already done so. We've already got him on film. But we want to sort of do another sort of a retake with this man, because I'm bringing in two other, you know, photographers basically to analyze his work, because we just can't go out with this. We need two or three witnesses, and that's what we're trying to do. So that's what kind of we're working on here.
Okay. And just so people, and I can't believe anyone does not what we're talking about here. Just refresh people about Fatima briefly, and the glass plates of which you speak. You're talking about the camera, not I'm going to say lens, but the camera, part of the camera, basically, is what you're referencing.
Yeah, the glass plates in back in 1917, there are no Polaroids, there are no film as we know it today. So they're using glass plates which go inside the camera. These glass plates record the image. I mean, it's very complex. And then through a series of chemicals, you get a negative from that glass plate. And then the glass plate, of course, then you can print photographs, which is what right. The photographer did. So, you know, in Fatima, Miracle of the Sun or Harbinger of Deception, this is the first film, which is already out. Right. You can buy it on your website, and I would encourage folks to do that, because, in my opinion, something happened there, which I truly believe was a harbinger of deception. I think that we are moving into a window of time where we're going to be seeing more and more and more of these type of supernatural events. And, you know, in the first film, we just took Mary off the table. We don't even discuss who the apparition was, who it might have been. We just completely took that off the table. It's like, in fact, in the very beginning of the film, there's like a disclaimer. We're not here to disparage anyone's belief system. People can believe whatever they want to believe. So we drill in on one aspect, and that, of course, is the miracle, the so-called miracle of the sun.
Right.
In 1917, these apparitions went on for 6 months, from May to October, And then finally in October, the seers, who were Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, Lucia was 10, Francisco 9, Jacinta 7, they were told in September to go back and ask this entity for a sign. So they did. And the entity says there'll be a sign in October. So upwards of 70,000 people are there in that field at the Cove of Irene, October 13th, 1917, waiting for the sign, waiting for whatever's going to happen. 70,000 people. At 1 o'clock, it's been raining all night, all morning. Everyone is soaked. You have pictures of a sea of umbrellas. And all of a sudden, the clouds part, the sun comes out, and then another cloud comes in and moves in front of the sun like this. Okay? I'm blocking my face deliberately. And from that comes an object. From this cloud, which is blocking the sun, comes an object which descends over the crowd. It spirals like this. It floats down like this. Mm. It does it three times and then comes back up. We've got way too many witnesses who talk about seeing a dull silver disc, a bright object, an object which was spinning on itself, spinning on its axis, throwing out a myriad of colors. I mean, the phenomena of that, whatever was going on during the miracle of the sun, just that one event with the craft coming out, the phenomena, was absolutely incredible. But there was other phenomenon, plural, that went with it. There were like these petals, these fibers which came down from the sky. People had skin burns on them. The motors spontaneously combusted in cars, gasoline spontaneously combusted. The hoods of cars just flew open and blew off. Windshields cracked. I mean, we're looking at an event here with an incredible amount of energy to do all this. People who were sopping wet standing in the field, their clothes were dry. So what was it? What really happened? And remember, in 1917, no one has seen an airplane. I mean, I know that sounds odd for us, but in Portugal, the majority of the people standing in that field had never seen any type of aerial phenomena at all. None. No planes, no blimps, nothing. They had never seen anything. So this is their introduction to something that flies in the sky, this disc-shaped object which comes over the crowd. And, you know, too many witnesses went on the record and stated this. So that's the essence of Fatima. And, of course, you know, people go, well, hey, you know, what about the secrets and all this stuff? What people don't understand, the so-called secrets came 11 years after the event. There are no secrets in 1917. But when Lucia is 18, 8 years later, she's hustled off to a convent, basically takes a vow of silence, and years later writes down the first two secrets. So we don't touch the secrets. We don't even go there, because that gets into a whole bailiwick which I don't really want to open. So we're just looking at what really happened, what really took place, what flew over. Was it, whatever this thing was, it came out of the cloud and then descended over the crowd. And according to many of the witnesses, the people were terrified at what they were seeing, absolutely terrified at what was going on. So, you know, you got to take that as it may. And this is Fatima 2, lots more information. Fatima 1 has been selling really good. It's on our Vimeo channel, The Watchman Chronicles. But I would encourage your listeners to buy from you, because you guys get a taste of the proceeds. And when they do that, they support the Hagman and Hagman Show, and that's what it's all about. So that's why we have that affiliate with you guys.
And I have to tell everyone, the first, and right there, if you're watching this on YouTube, right there on the right, Fatima, click that. You can watch the trailer. It's a great piece of investigative reporting. And that's exactly what it is. I mean,
exactly what it is.
Yeah, right. And now, how many are going to be in the series? How many DVDs ultimately do you think?
Well, I mean, we'll probably stop with Fatima 2 unless something incredible happens and we're allowed actually to go into the sanctuary. And I'm not holding my breath on that. But, you know, we've got Fatima 1 and Fatima 2. All this is part of the Watchmen Chronicles. That's the title of the overarching series, The Watchmen Chronicles. The first film in that is UFOs Are Real, and in their own words, where people come in on the record and discuss it. Then our second film is Fatima, Miracle of a Sun Harbinger of Deception. Fatima 2, right now the working title is Strange Phenomenon, because it's just bizarre. It's just bizarre, the stuff that we've uncovered. This whole idea of goddess worship, which was all through ancient Portugal, which basically traces back to the Celts. But along with this, you know, this is ancient. And then you get the Romans and the Greeks coming, or the Roman culture coming in. They built a temple to Diana. So even though Diana is much later, it's the same thing. It's the worship of the feminine. It's goddess worship. And this is what we found there. And we've got some wonderful people who come on the record that we interviewed just a few months ago that weigh in. Carl Teichrup, for instance, comes in on the record, who does a wonderful job, who has spent a lot of time investigating on these ancient gods and goddesses that were permeated the Greco-Roman culture and way before that, coming from, you know, Nimrod and Mesopotamia. And then, of course, we got Dr. Michael Lake. So there's a whole bevy of people that address this one aspect of it, the idea of ancient goddess worship, which was all throughout Portugal. And we didn't know that going over there. I mean, we had no idea of what was actually in the country, the principality that was governing that entire area. We had no idea until we got over there. And I got to tell you, the warfare was through the roof. Even now, as I'm doing Fatima 2, the warfare has just been bonkers. I mean, I've never experienced anything like it. Wow. All sorts of weird stuff going on. All sorts of weird stuff going on.
Man, okay.
So, wow.
We're going to keep you in our prayers, too. But this is an important piece of research historically. By the way, 100 years now, 100 years, well, 100 years ago, last month now, the apparition on Fatima, just to remind people. All right. L.A., I don't want to take any of your time. What do you want to focus on here, given your time tonight? What's most important on your heart as well as on your radar? What do you have your sights on?
Well, I mean, I think we're in a window of time that is incredibly volatile. I mean, the North Korean nut job rocket man's launching rockets, and this guy's a nutcase. I mean, this guy is certifiable. And unless the Chi Coms have to step up here. That it's got to be a three-prong attack, and I've discussed this on my show and other shows. But you know, the South Koreans got to buck up and try to finish what happened in the 50s with the Korean War. The Chi Coms need to go in there at the same time, and the Japanese, quite frankly, even though excuse me, they don't have a standing army per se, the way they did before World War II, they need to buck up, and we need to do air support. This guy needs to be taken out. I mean, he's volatile. And of course, that's just one aspect when you get into what's happening in Iran and Saudi Arabia. And, you know, I've talked about this somewhat, and I'll talk about this in my show a little later on tonight. But, you know, it's interesting that what we see is Hollywood pushing against Trump for the last year. We see the world stage, you know, calling him a clown and all this. We see the Clintons and the Bushes, okay? And now all of a sudden, Jared Kushner goes over to Saudi Arabia several weeks before the purge happens, okay? And all of a sudden, we learn about the bakshish, the money laundering. You know, the money laundering, which has been going on there for decades. In my opinion, it will point back to the Clintons and further back to the Bushes. They've all been in bed together. Everybody's been, I don't know, but this thing goes deep. Follow the money. And I hope they've got the guts to follow the money. It will implicate, in my opinion, the Clintons. You know, let me put it this way. Could the Clintons and the Bushes be involved? In my opinion, I think that they are. So that's pushback from the Donald. That's the way he operates. Hollywood, you know, he's not my president, all this nonsense. Okay. So all of a sudden, we got Pedogate. We got Weinstein coming out. And this, in my opinion, is Trump pushing back against what he's known about for years, because it's all, you know, under the radar. He's hobnobbed with these people. He knows what's going on. The difference is Now he's got the power to do something about it. And all these loudmouths over there, Al Franken, I mean, you know, it's just amazing. Conyers. I mean, this whole thing is coming apart at the seams. So the deep state is alive and well. By the way, I was told in March from a spook at the Hear the Watchman conference that met me that the next war was going to be in North Korea. I mean, I was told this. The guy told me it's already on the board. It's already there. So this is just a few months after Trump takes office. And we see that this you know, Rocket Man is crazy. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
I'm just curious. When you say the next war is going to be in on the Korean Peninsula, are we talking about like an occupation force in addition to taking out their nuclear capabilities, or and will it be with the information you got, will it be a multinational like a coalition, or is it going to be?
I think it has to be a coalition. But what I'm alarmed about is the idea of an EMP, and these guys are playing for keeps. You know, the Iranians are also in bed with the North Koreans, so it's a very, very complex mix. And then you've got the Iranians hating the Saudis and the Saudis hating the Iranians, and, you know, just last week, the up-and-coming king is calling, you know, Iran the new Hitler. I mean, it's funny how Hitler just gets bandied around. Everybody's, you know, Trump's called Hitler, the mullahs are called Hitler. I mean, there's not enough Adolf to go around here. But the idea of an electromagnetic pulse weapon has been something that's been on my radar for years. And with everything that's going on, nothing would surprise me. Nothing would surprise me. Now, my internet went down. We had a power outage up here in the Santa Monica Mountains. And so my internet went down in the studio. So, you know, I've been scrambling for the last 2 days. A guy came up and said, yeah, everything got fried, and he replaced everything. It took him about 2 hours to replace it, and so everything's working now in the studio again. But with an EMP, electromagnetic pulse weapon, not so fast, citizen, it doesn't come back up. And the phone doesn't work, and the electricity goes off, and the refrigerator doesn't happen, and your cell phone, no one calls in, no one calls out. You don't get any news because your radio won't work. Your television won't work. Anything with an on and off switch refuses to work. Your car won't start. And it doesn't come back on in 24 hours. And if it happens in wintertime, millions will die within the first 10 days. Millions. And so that's always been one of my greatest fears. The idea of an EMP. And then you've got the Israelis when you throw them into the mix. You've got Hezbollah in the north. What was it? Just today. Some wrestler refused to, just basically defaulted his match other than touch an Israeli. So this is, where do these people learn this? You know, when they're born into the world, they have to be taught that. They have to be taught that type of hatred. And so what we see in the Middle East specifically is a cauldron of insanity, which has been brewing for decades. And at some point, and it's got the lid on it like a pressure cooker, at some point, this thing's going to blow. And I would say that the Israelis and the Saudis will join forces. And I think that's all behind the scenes. That's conjecture on my part. But I think, because there's an old Middle Eastern saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And the Iranians, you know, have been at loggerheads with the Israelis for years, and have been saber-rattling against the Israelis. So, make no mistake about it, I think that's where it's going. And the Saudis and the Iranians are not in bed together either. So I think we're going to look at the Saudis and the Israelis form a coalition with some certain parameters which they'll use. And because, you know, to get to Iran, you can fly over Saudi Arabia. Think about it. So you get the Saudi Air Force, the Israeli Air Force. They take out the Bashir reactor, which is what they've been wanting to do anyway. At the same time, they launch against Hezbollah. They launch against Hamas. And they cut the heads off the snakes, which needs to be done. Because make no mistake about it, the first chance Hezbollah gets to attack Israel, that's what they'll do. Just like Hamas. The hatred, the vitriol has never stopped and never will. So, you know, I look at where we are as a culture. I look at the world. I look at the fact that tax reform may be held up by 8 people. Just 8 people will decide the vote. Meanwhile, millions of us are not starving to death, but the tax burden is so onerous that I borrow money every year. I borrow money every year from my PayPal account. Hallelujah. Thank God it's there. I mean, I can borrow whatever I need in less than an hour. It's just because I got AAA credit and I pay it back. But sometimes we have to float by PayPal. Why? Because 50% of my income, roughly 50%, goes to the federal government and the state. And then you got property taxes and personal insurances.
when you've got employees as well, you've got to cover. Yeah, I mean that becomes an entirely new nightmare. I'm right there with you. L.A. Marzulli is our guest. LAMarzulli.net. L.A., hold that thought. Geopolitical coverage of the news. Who'd have thought, by the way, 20 years ago, Saudi Arabia and Israel, just as an aside, kind of teaming up together. Who'd have thought that we would be even today in this position with North Korea? LAMarzulli.net. We're going to come right back. By the way, don't forget HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Fatima. It's a tremendous investigative, work by LA Marzulli. Stay right where you're at. Network break. 2 minutes. Our very special guest, L.A. Marzulli, LAMarzulli.net. And if you go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link to the Watchman Chronicles or to Fatima, and that's part of the Watchman Chronicles. I gotta tell you, what a great piece of investigative reporting about Fatima, the miracle of the sun, or a harbinger of deception. And I like the approach that L.A. has done with respect to his particular investigative work. Now, we're going to cut him loose about 5 minutes before the top of the hour, or a little bit earlier than that, because he's got a radio show to prepare for himself. Now, having said all of that, L.A., during the break, we were talking about the censorship issue. And right before airtime, I heard, for whatever reason, I didn't catch this earlier, but censorship for all of conservative Christian conservatives really taking place. Carl Gallup's is just taken off of YouTube. And, of course, you're fighting to stay on, as we are, on YouTube. What the heck's going on here?
Well, I mean, basically, I mean, it'd be very interesting to actually go to Google and walk in and see the weasel who is sitting behind his or her desk, you know, deciding, like, well, there's that Marzulli guy again with that exploration radio. I'll just nix him right now and demonetize him. I mean, that's what you... I'd give anything to see that. I mean, I really would. I'm being serious here. I'd give anything to see that. You know, who is the person? And then what is their worldview? You know, what do they believe or not believe? And the fact is that Carl Gallup got taken down. All of his stuff got wiped out. I know Timothy Alberino was another guy that got hit. I've been demonetized with Acceleration Radio because my content is not friendly to all sorts of advertisers, because I might say something that might offend somebody. Isn't that special? I mean, it's just, we're so far down the rabbit hole, and I love these Antifa clowns, you know, no fascism here, you know, love Trump's hate and all this stuff. Meanwhile, they're spraying stuff in people's faces. Free speech is okay as long as it's the speech that they want to hear.
That's right.
So someone like Ann Coulter or you or myself or anybody else, you know, that has conservative Christian views, somehow, you know, we're the problem. Somehow we're racist. It's just like Hillary Clinton, make no mistake about it, folks. Hillary Clinton lost the election because of something that she said in her hubris. And when she did this, that was it. When I saw the clip the next day, I'll never forget it. I looked at my wife and I said, she just lost the election. Because she said this: half of Trump supporters can be defined this way. They can be put into a basket full of deplorables. You know, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, agoraphobic, you know, open borders. I mean, that's what, and when she said that, it's like, okay, you just basically nixed how many millions of people out of the mix by yep. what you were doing? How many millions of people? And that's who she really is. That's what she really thinks. So the fact that look, I had a plan, and let me get into this a little bit, because I don't often get a time to rant like this on shows, and I just thank you for the opportunity. But the reason why there's no war on terror, because they want it that way. The powers that be, the globalists, want the war on terror to continue just the way it is, where nothing gets done, everyone lives in fear. You know, ISIS is planning a new attack over Christmas. You know, so okay, that's great. So here's how you stop terrorism. It's really simple. It's so simple that if we wanted to do it, we could have done it, you know, 10 years ago, but we don't want to do it. The deep state doesn't want to do it, and Europe doesn't want to do it. And the moment you say something like this, oh, you're an Islamophobe. So here's what you do. Let's take the jihadi several weeks ago who hopped in a truck and ran over a bunch of people. Okay? So the first thing that happens, if the jihadi is alive, he's immediately tried as a war criminal, number one. Number two, the jihadi's family, entire family, is arrested. Mother, father, wife, sisters, everybody's arrested. Everybody's held in separate cells. Everybody is questioned. That's the first, the second thing. Third thing, the house in which the jihadi is living in, if it's his parents' house, whatever, if he's living in an apartment but his parents are found to be complacent in some way, that house is sold and the money is given to, drumroll please, the victims. Next we go to the imam. The jihadi had to have been going somewhere. So we talk to the imam again. And we find out, is he complacent? What did he know? If he knows anything, if it's found out that there was a cell in that mosque, if it's found out that he knew anything like that, the imam is deported back to the country of origin. The mosque is sold. The money is given back to the victims' families. The jihadi's family is immediately deported back to the country of origin. No excuses. I don't care what's going on. They're immediately deported back to their country of origin. So let's say, just for instance, let's say some jihadi hails from Qatar. So he's got a wife and three kids and, you know, whatever. They're all deported. Now, if the wife is complacent, then she's tried as a war criminal. But everybody else is shipped away and the house is sold. That's how you stop terror, because you send a message. Oh, and I'm not done yet. And if it happened with Qatar, a global community comes out and basically puts sanctions on Qatar. And the first time it happens, the sanctions are not mild, but they're not, you know, onerous. The second time, it gets intense. The third time, everything gets shut off. Everything gets shut off. Huge sanctions. That's how you stop the war on terror. That's how you do it.
I totally agree with you. And Jackie, the office administrative assistant for the office, Jackie, just go ahead and let me know when we get the emails from CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, the unindicted co-conspirator from the Holy Land Foundation trial. Make a note of that. And also Right Wing Watch. And who's the other one? SBLC. Thank you. All right. So we got that. I love it. But you're serious. I mean, that's serious. That's right. But how were, look, the Benghazi, the lower hanging fruit of the attacker in Benghazi, U.S. trial, he walks on what, 12 of the 16 counts, gets nailed on 4 of the lesser counts. That's it. This is ridiculous how this is playing out.
Well, it's the way the game is played. Nothing gets done. The deep state controls a lot of what we see. And see, part of the problem is, I mean, everything can be fixed. It's very, very broken, but it can be fixed if we wanted to fix it. I just outlined a very simple plan how to stop terror. That's how you fight a war against an enemy that you can't declare a war on. you know, the jihadi blows himself up. We go and sell his house and give the money to the victims, deport everybody, sell that, you know, that I've already outlined it, so I'm not going to reiterate, but that's what you do. But they don't, they're not interested in doing that. They're not interested in changing anything. The powers that be in Congress aren't interested in term limits because they have nice cushy jobs like McCain, like Dianne Feinstein is going to sit there till she's 92 years old. Are you kidding me? Are you flipping kidding me? What is she doing in the Senate? There, we need term limits. Everybody gets two terms, and that's it. Heave-ho. And what that would do is it keeps the cronyism, the good old boy network, and it cleans house, constantly cleaning house, which is what needs to be done. And the American people are so stupid that we won't coalesce and go, we've had it. We're done with this stuff. You guys suck because you don't get anything done because it's, you know, you're scratching this guy's back and this guy's scratching your back and you've been there for 30 or 40 years and it's a good old boy network. Nonsense. You clean house. Everybody gets two terms. That's it. Which means if you did that in the midterms, most of Congress would go. Do you realize that?
Absolutely.
Most of Congress would go. I would sit there and go, hallelujah, we now have a chance. We now have a chance to take the country back. Because right now, and you've heard me rant about this, I'm paying close to 50% of my hard-earned income in taxes. What can I tell you?
And as you pointed out, eight lawmakers could hold this entire thing up. And that's the plan of the permanent state, the shadow government, of which I believe the deep state is part of, obviously, the shadow government. And that's to throw a monkey wrench into the cogs of this agenda. And this is why the anti-Trump agenda is so hideous, I believe. It's to take down the presidency, the president, and of course, to go against the will of the American people. But yeah, this, wow. Do you think, will Donald Trump survive? I want to ask you this question. Do you think Donald Trump will survive the special counsel, all of the hits he's taken on the media, or from the media, all of the antagonists, all of the people on the inside, the inner circle, the so-called Republicans, but the Republican establishment?
Yeah.
Is he going to survive, do you think?
I, you know, that's a really good question. I mean, from what I've heard, is that Trump is now surrounding himself with private security. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, you know, he doesn't trust those who are hired, basically, to be his bodyguard.
What about political survival? Will he survive impeachment? Will he survive that onslaught of the Russian meme of collusion that's just a bunch of BS? Is he going to make it through that?
Well, so, I mean, the bottom line is he's pushing back. As I stated earlier, I think the what's happening in Hollywood and the fact that it's all coming out now, all the groping, like, you know, Al Franken and others and others of his ilk, it's starting to come back. I think that's his way of pushing back. And who knows what's really going on behind the scenes. This guy's a fighter. You know, he's a fighter and he's been around. He's not some, you know, moron that got where he is by being like Tweedledee and Tweedledum. This guy knows how to run a meeting. He knows how to talk to people and build bridges to people. He knows politics on some level, certainly not the dirty nonsense that happens in Washington, but he knows having gone through the building permit process, which is one of the most onerous things you can possibly do. So you buy a piece of property and now you got to have all these yahoos tell you what you can or cannot do with it. Oh, and by the way, While you're getting your building permit, you're paying taxes. Can't live there, but you're paying taxes, all right. I mean, this is how crazy everything's gotten. There was a sign out here, I'll never forget it, a billboard on someone's bumper, and it said this, that a building permit food stamps should be, let me get this right. Food stamps should be as difficult to get as a building permit.
I love it.
Yeah, you too. Because where I live in the pristine Santa Monica Mountains, if I wanted to build a house up here, let's say I bought a piece of property and I wanted to build a house, first thing that they do and I want to go down this rabbit hole. They bring a tractor out, a backhoe out, an excavator, and they dig a diagonal line, right, through your property. Diagonal line from one corner to the other.
Okay.
They go down about 5 or 6 feet. While they're doing this, they have a Chumash elder or representative from the tribe at $75 an hour standing there making sure there's no artifacts on your property.
Are you serious? Are you being...
I am deadly serious. And that's just the beginning, my friend. Oh, that's just the beginning. It is almost impossible. It's a 2-year process in California, Malibu, California. Sometimes 3 years to build. You need environmental impacts. You need engineering. You need soils. I mean, they bring everybody. I'm just building a single family home for crying out loud. Whoa, wait a minute. We need an environmental impact study because, you know, we've got a snail here or something. This is the liberal wacky state of California where nothing gets done. Where nothing gets done. And this is why.
This is, okay, I did not know that. Of course, nothing would surprise me with respect to California. Oh my goodness. Diagonal line 5 feet. Okay. Now I've heard it all. Okay. Wow. Well, hey, we got about 5 minutes left, together. Anywhere you want to go, Fatima, by the way, folks, get Fatima. Go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link, get Fatima, the investigation there. Please do that. LA, in the remaining 5 minutes, take us wherever. And then, because I know you have to get ready for your radio show.
Well, it's great to be here. And, you know, I just thank you for having me on. It's just an honor. I would say this, that I've been saying this at conferences all year long. If we are intellectually honest, no one knows where we are and what this is. And what I mean by that, we're on this little blue planet, and I'll just pick it up and show it to you. Here it is. Not flat, boys. Not a flat Earth. Now, sir, now if it was flat, why can't these clowns go to the edge, all right, and take the pictures and come back? No one does that. Meanwhile, we've got satellites which go around the globe because it's round. So stop drinking the Kool-Aid with the flat Earth thing. But if we are honest, we have no idea where this little blue planet is in regard to the universe. If the universe as we know it is analogous to the United States of America, are we in Duluth, Tampa, Dallas, Los Angeles, Cape Cod? We don't know. We have no idea where we are and what this is. Nobody does. No one does. And yet, and this is something that's been sort of really been on my heart lately. If there was another game in town than Jesus, we'd know about it. If there was another way that somehow relieves us of our depravity, if there was another way, you know, out of this thing, we'd know about it by now. You know, somebody would have come up, hey, I got this new thing, it's really cool. But that's not what we get. What we get is the old pantheon of gods. We get Hinduism, we get Islam, and none of those, everything I just mentioned, all of them, they never deal with man's depravity. There's no way out of your depravity. There's only one paradigm on this planet that deals with man's depravity, and that is Christianity. And it says you are a sinner, just like I am a sinner. And that when we go to Jesus, who paid the price for our sin, we can have eternal life. Our sins can be cleansed from us. Our sin code, excuse me, as Russ Dizdar would call it, can be changed. And we can be made in the image and likeness of Him. Now, that's the good news. And we get eternal life. That's the good news. And that's the only game in town. I mean, I've tried the whole Hindu thing. You know, I did the New Age thing. Nothing works. There's only one. And if there was something else, we would have known about it by now. It's nothing else. That's it. He's coming back. Buckle up.
With that, we will let you go. Amen. Very well said. Wow. L.A. Marzulli in rare form tonight. Tune into Acceleration Radio, his radio show tonight, as well. And how many nights are you on? You got more radio shows than we do.
No. I'm only on one night a week. That's it.
Okay. All right. And that's from 6 p.m. Pacific.
6 to 7, just an 6 hour. To 7. Yeah.
All right. But folks, L.A. Marzulli again in rare form.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. God bless. Wow. Indeed, you know, I'm still having trouble processing that California building, that whole building process in California. But I want to thank Elliot Marzulli for coming on board tonight. To me, the information he provided, and think about what he said as well. Think about whether it's about censorship or whether it's about the threat of war or even the very astute observations about how to handle terrorism. Right on the money, right? Right on the money. Now, a couple of things. Buckle up for this. I don't know how many people have know about this, the gaytivity scenes. Have you heard about that? You know, you've heard about nativity scenes, of course, in the nativity scenes with respect to Christmas. Now we're going to be forced into gaytivity scenes. Rush Limbaugh talked about this. I think it was today. Yeah, it was today. Rush Limbaugh talked about this, where Twitter was blowing up with different memes. And I'm getting really tired of having this shoved down my throat, this homosexual tolerant. You've got to tolerate this whole the abhorrent lifestyle. And I told you yesterday, I got a letter. It was addressed and directed to me saying, lay off, please lay off the homosexual stuff. And I can't do that because, look, this is not about equal rights. It never was about equal rights. It's about special rights. And my complaint exists with those who are seeking special rights. But now we've got this gaytivity scene. There's apparently a children's book, by the way, that depicts a homosexual Santa in a biracial marriage. And now there's a gay or a homosexual nativity scene. It's being popularized and called gaytivity to Joseph's kneeling over a baby Jesus. There you have it. This is where we are today. And we are supposed to accept this. And Rush Limbaugh talked about an article in a feminist publication called Refinery 29 describing the scene. Now think about this. What if it wasn't Mary and Joseph who met their child that night, but instead Murray and Joseph? How obscene. How literally offensive is this? Or Marty and Joseph? Because after all, they say, Jesus had two fathers. Now think about that logic. That's not logic at all. Remember, Heather Has Two Mommies, the little kid's book that was being forced on children about 15 years ago. You might remember that in the New York public school system. And this, of course, is what Rush Limbaugh is talking about. Now, Jesus had two fathers, of course, God and Joseph. There was not a woman in this gaytivity scene. And yet a feminist group is publicizing this. What's the agenda here? I said on my radio show today, this morning, the agenda, whether you look at the agenda is the moral, the attack on our morality and our spirituality and the silence by the church, the silence where there is silence by the church, the silence of the Christians and the silence of the conservatives in order to adhere to this immorality is deafening and it's telling. Now, we're not going to be silenced by anyone. Well, oh, sure, of course, we're going to be subjected to and subjugated by organizations like YouTube. Much to the delight, by the way, and I could never really understand this, but I do now. Much to the delight of certain self-professed Christians who say, well, you know, they're selling fear porn, meaning us, and you get the, you know, I'm not going to go over this whole thing again, but the template is the same. You know, I'm just going to stop there because I'm not going to provide any oxygen to the fire of destruction by the individuals who are coming after us, because they're scratching for relevance. They're looking for that relevance when they have none. They're looking for an audience where none exists. They're looking for that approval where none will ever be. and they're so unhappy with themselves. And I'm content just to leave them be and self-destruct. The bigger fight, in my view, is the fight we are fighting with respect to, well, with respect to the people who are taking us off the air, will be taking us off the air. The censorship, as you heard LA talk about YouTube, from YouTube, you know, folks, it's not going to be long. I don't believe that we're not going to be found on YouTube. It's not going to be long, perhaps, where certain, and I'm not talking necessarily, I'm not talking about Global Star or not even necessarily BTR, but certain infrastructures, you won't be able to, you're not going to be able to hear us. Why? Because there will be this method of, hey, you are talking about Islam in a bad way. You're talking about homosexuality in a way that we don't agree with, so we're going to have to silence you. You've heard this before. The only reason I'm bringing this up now is to let you know it is coming sooner than we ever thought. But see, so what do we do in that case? We have to band together, except those who want to destroy us, that claim to be on the same side or on the side of God and Christianity, which they're not. They're not. So, but we have to stick together, we have to band together, and we have to fight together. Because we can't give up. We cannot give up. Because what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is to what? Is to just hang everything up. We cannot go there. I'm very thankful to have, speaking of sponsors as well, because our sponsors stick with us, and I want to thank them for that. Because they get, oh my goodness, they get emails about us, and yeah, do you know what they're talking about? And of course, just like Carl Gallops was taken off the air, off of YouTube for a while, and then people speak up, and they're, you know, he's back on. But our sponsors take a chance with us. So I want to thank all of our sponsors and all of our partners in this radio endeavor, and I want to thank you for supporting us. But think about this. We've got omahasteaks.com. If you haven't gone there yet, we have got a special deal for you, and I'd love to get Omaha Steaks. What is this? The Thanksgiving or the Thanksgiving holiday messed me up. It was earlier this week when my wife and I cooked up a couple of fillets from Omaha Steaks. But if you're struggling to find the perfect gift for someone who's got it all, the holidays, they're fast approaching. Think about this. Think about giving the gift of food, the steaks from Omaha Steaks. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for just $49.99, you can't beat that. You can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter our code HH in the search bar. That's 75% off. Omaha Steaks HH in the search bar for $49.99. You get my family gift pack. And by the way, while you're there, just check out the website because they've got over 500 gourmet gift ideas. They've got great steak experiences. They've got some of the most flavorful, tender, aged beef, plus seafood, poultry, pork, lamb, and veal. It's unbelievable. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving to our listeners an exclusive savings. Listen to everything that you'll get for under $50. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, some of the best chicken I've ever had, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning packet, four kielbasa sausages, and when you order this, you'll get four additional kielbasa sausages free, plus their famous Omaha seasoning packet. It's just fabulous. Folks, go to omahasteaks.com, enter HH in the search bar. That's our code, HH in the search bar. omahasteaks.com, enter HH in the search bar. I'm going to tell you, you're looking for the best gift for that person hard to buy for? omahasteaks.com, HH in the search bar. So, coming up next, Stan Dale. That's right, Stan Dale. The man behind the EMP proofing. It's pretty great. I was talking to him and Holly earlier today. What great people they are. Stay with us. Network break. Right back.
Coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.